Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today I have Phil Japixi. Phil is an international speaker, a Microsoft MVP, MCSD, CSM, CSP, MOUSE, and a passionate member of the developer community. Phil has been working with .NET since the first betas, and he's been developing software for over 20 years, making him almost as old as I am. He's heavily involved in the Agile community and has been since 2005. Phil works as a developer evangelist for Telerik's RAD controls for Windows 8, so we are peers at Telerik. And he also works on the Just family of products, Just Code, Just Mock, Just Trace, Just Decompile. And he serves as the lead director for the Cincinnati .NET Users Group and the Cincinnati Software Architecture Group. Phil also founded Agile Conferences Incorporated, a not-for-profit dedicated to advancing Agile in all aspects of software development. He serves as a Cub Scout committee chair for his son's Cub Scout pack, and he volunteers for the National Ski Patrol. With that, I think we're out of time. Thanks for coming, Phil.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jesse. You guys have a great day.
How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good, and really glad to have you here. I should say that I met you in your role as an evangelist for Telerik and became very attached to Telerik products specifically because of you and how kind you were and how willing to spend time and to explain how some of the products work. So you started out as my icon of what an evangelist is.
Oh, wow. Coming from you, that means a lot. And let's just make sure that our boss hears this podcast
as well.
That's
right. So you were working exclusively on the Just side, and you're now working also on the Windows 8 side. And aside from the fact that I have no idea how you have enough hours in the day, tell me about what you're doing with Windows 8.
So at Telerik, we decided to divide the evangelism for Windows 8 controls between the two very, very different stacks. And I'll explain that comment a little later because they're not that different, but in some senses they really are. And the two stacks, you know, being the .NET XAML side, the next iteration of WPF Silverlight, if you will, and the other stack being the HTML, JavaScript, CSS side. And the main reason we did that is I'm finding out in the community that you can do both very well, but you have a hard time doing everything very well, right? So people who have come from a traditional web development, who are really familiar with JavaScript and all its pluses as well as its minuses, and the HTML and the CSS and layout and floats and things like that, find the WinJS side of Windows 8 development very natural to them. As on the other side, as you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that Jesse's an awesome evangelist, and one of the products he covers is the Windows 8 controls as well on the .NET side. And it's almost a different mindset, if you will, from traditional Windows development. Would you agree with that, Jesse? Because it's such a different paradigm.
I would say it is very much the analogy that I would give is that it is like knowing the same language but talking about a really different subject. So it is, they're both in C#, Windows, and XAML are probably closer to WPF Silverlight by a lot than JavaScript and HTML for Windows 8 is to web development. I think that's a bigger jump.
Yeah, and I would agree with that because I've spent over my career, I did a lot of WPF, I did a lot of Silverlight, but I also did a lot of web forms as well as MVC. And, you know, one thing about doing the web stack, you always had to know multiple languages. You know, there's all this hubbub out there about, you know, be a polyglot programmer. Well, to do web development, you had to be, because you had to know HTML, you had to know CSS. Sometimes, as Pete Brown always says, you know, screw it, I just used the table. But you had to know JavaScript, and jQuery was a big savior for us in that realm. But then you were doing server-side programming as well, and that was traditionally done in one of the .NET languages, C# or VB.NET. So you had really this mixture, and my background as a .NET developer, I leaned heavily on .NET and would go to JavaScript kind of as a, well, now I have to be client side, or, you know, I can't do this server side, so let me figure out the JavaScript. And it was almost an afterthought. And it's certainly very, very different when you look at the WinJS side development, where I'm not writing .NET code when I'm working with the RAD controls or doing Windows 8 programming. I am strictly in JavaScript and HTML and CSS and trying to remember how to make those floats work. Fortunately, CSS3 brings us a nice little table without having to call it a table, so I can get away with using tables and not get in trouble with the CSS guys. But the biggest change that I see, and I just put a blog post up about this, is Windows 8 is such a different paradigm. Whenever I was doing development in the past, I always had to think about things like navigation controls. Am I using tabs? Am I using links? Where do I put my buttons and things like that? And it really affected the visual aspects of my application. Now, it didn't affect the content, right? Because I was still displaying forms over data or, you know, the payroll app or healthcare, whatever it was. I still had data on there, but I had all this Chrome intermixed in with it. And that was just a fact of life, right? We didn't know a different way to do it. So you see, even on web forms today, right? When you want to submit something, there's buttons on there. And then you might have tabs or not so much tabs in the web world, but we do things with frames and whatnot and try and have all this layout and navigation and user interface stuff or user interaction, I should say, right there on the form. And what strikes me with Windows 8 is that's a no-no, right? That's we're not supposed to do that. And I keep finding myself, you know, Jesse and I are working in parallel on an application that we're calling Conference Buddy right now. And, you know, it might change the name, but it might stick to that as well, where people who run booths at events, you know, typically what we do is we have a drawing. And, you know, we get business cards. And if somebody says, oh, I want to talk to one of your evangelists about this other product, you have to take notes and remember the card and don't lose it on your 5-city road trip, things like that. So we want to build an application, you know, in Windows 8 where people can sign up for the raffles, can sign up for contact, can sign up for, you know, information, things like that, right on a nice Surface phone, touchscreen, things like that. I keep finding myself when I'm prototyping wanting to put buttons on the screen. Do you find yourself doing that, Jet?
I do. It's hard not to think in terms of at least navigation right on the form.
Well, and not only that, but, you know, I'm adding a new record. I want to save it. I'll put a save button right
there. Yeah, that's right. By navigation, I really mean the CRUD, the save and the update and the edit this and all of that. It's not so much moving from page to page as I filled out this form. You know, where the heck is the save button? Oh, that goes in the app bar. And that takes a little getting used to.
Well, and from a user aspect as well, I borrowed a friend's Surface. I was playing with it. And I pulled up the calendar app. And I'm looking at the calendar app. And I wanted to drill down into a particular day. So what did I do? I double tapped it. Well, that made a new appointment. I'm like, how do I get to a different view? And the answer is the app bar. So the Windows 8 paradigm says any sort of commands, interactions, navigation, things like that should not be on the screen. It should be the content over the Chrome, and everything is tucked away in either the app bar or the charms bar. So you need to move that off the screen. It doesn't get in the way of the user. And then the user can get access to all kinds of things just by doing a simple swipe or a right click if you're on a mouse. And that, for a user, I think, they're going to struggle with that initially as well, because it's such a different paradigm.
Yes, Windows 8 is definitely an adjustment. And the question I think that we can speculate on endlessly is whether the consumer is going to be willing to go through that adjustment. Programmers have a different kind of decision tree, because we're all about how many people are going to be there and is this where the market is and what are the opportunities. But the consumer doesn't have that pressure. The consumer simply says, I like this. This is cool. This is fun. This is easy to work with. Or, you know, I hate this. My personal take on this, I'll just say briefly, is that never underestimate the importance of backwards compatibility. And the fact that you can switch to desktop mode and run all your Windows 7 applications, I actually think is the killer feature of Windows 8 and is what will help people finally make that adjustment over time.
Well, I think it will, but I also think it might hamper the adoption, because there's certainly apps out there that are just made for the Metro. Oh, I guess I'm not supposed to say that. The he who must not be named interface.
Yes, the interface formerly known as Metro.
Exactly. Yeah. And the one thing that struck me is I was fortunate enough to attend a Windows 8 train-to-trainer session in Redmond last year. Or I guess it was this year, technically. And, let me ask you, Jesse. You got doors in your house, right?
Yes.
Do you have instructions on how to open a door?
I can usually figure it out.
Yeah, so everybody knows how to open a door because you've opened one before. But when your kids were young and you were trying to teach them how to open a door, you had to teach them, right?
Yeah.
So the problem that we really have in what I'm going to call traditional programming is every time there's a door, we have instructions on the door of how to open it. So there's a lot of Chrome on applications that's just not necessary once the user understands the application. Would you agree with that?
Sounds like a fair assessment.
So the problem is, at what point in time do you teach the user to open the door?
Right. And I think the premise in Windows 8 is that because there are stringent standards and because things are so similar across multiple applications, once the user has figured out how to do something in one application, they'll know how to do it in all of the applications.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree, right? A door is a door is a door, and you have all kinds of different doors and French doors and sliding doors and things like that, and users can figure them out. Unlike my son, who walked through one when he was younger, but that's another story for another day. So I think that we'll get there. But the biggest change for developers, we have to make sure that we're consistent. You know, a great example, I pointed out the app bar, which is the bar that shows up across the bottom. You can also have it on the top. So if you're on a Windows 8 device and you're in Internet Explorer, for example, not in desktop mode, but in Windows 8, formerly known as Metro. What are we calling it?
Microsoft calls it modern style.
Modern style. Okay, we'll call it modern because, you know, last year wasn't modern. All right. Sorry, that was my outside voice. It should have been my inside voice. and you can have it across the top and the bottom and things like that. And people will get that. But one thing that I find really, really nice as well are the charms. So if you swipe in from the right, you get the charms. And it's search and send to. And, now I just blanked on what I don't have them memorized. Silly me.
Settings.
And settings. And here, I'll pull it up on my device. So we have search and share and things like that. And the nice thing about that, let me just take search, for example, because every application should have some sort of search capability built into it. But how do you do it? How do you make the UI, right? So we had all these different ways of doing it in applications before. Now we have built into the operating system the ability to hook into a search contract so that a user can go to the search, type in a search, and it will search not only all the application names, but in applications and settings and things like that. So it really brings a unified approach to application development. But, as we've said, I think it's going to take some adjustment. And I think you're right. I think the desktop mode is going to be the savior for some companies because there's some applications where users are going to struggle. I remember when I went from WinForms to WPF, for example, and I had done a fair enough amount of WinForm programming in the healthcare arena because they just didn't like the web, right? Healthcare. Traditionally, and I know you're going to get lots of emails and comments on this one, but traditionally, they're not cutting edge, right? Especially the nursing home industry. And I wrote a payroll application for them, and it was an MDA, multiple document interface, right? So they could have lots of windows open and things like that. And then we started moving it to WPF. And all of a sudden, it was like, wait a minute, there's no MDI. I can't do MDI. I can't write software if I can't do MDI, right? And I went through that. They moved my cheese meltdown for a while, and then I realized, hey, this is really better, right? And my WPF apps were much easier to use because users didn't have 27 windows open, right? They were focused on the content that they cared about at that particular time. If they stopped caring about it, it went away, and they brought something else up. And I think we're going to see that sort of paradigm shift in Windows 8 as well.
Well, that's an interesting question because, yes, there was a shift from WinForms to WCF. And yes, there was a shift when Microsoft introduced the ribbon and as they moved into and out of MDI. But the shift to Windows 8 store applications strikes me as a much bigger jump and as probably the biggest change to the user experience since Windows 95, arguably since Windows 3.1.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But again, the flip side of that is, as developers, we're locked into doing things the right way, right? Because right now there's no enterprise story about sideloading. And sideloading is, you know, putting an app on a Windows 8 device like a Surface or a tablet without going through the Windows Store. And there will be. There'll be private stores and things like that, and that story will come around. But everything has to go through the store, and the store is being, from what I understand, fairly strict on making sure you adhere to their design guidelines. And this is actually very good news. I've heard enough people complain, oh, you know, they're being too picky. But think about the wild, wild west we had of programming before, where the design guideline was, well, if it looks like Office, users will be able to use it, right?
Right.
And especially in the WPF world, when we went from, you know, Windows forms and traditional web forms, where Microsoft actually published guidance at that time, to WPF, Microsoft was noticeably silent. And we looked at some industry leaders to say, okay, tell us how to write apps. And the industry leaders, thankfully, were like, no, I'm not going to tell you how to write apps. I'm going to tell you how we write apps, but you have to use critical thought and figure it out. And so we had such a wide array of user interfaces and, you know, not a unified search and not unified navigation and things like that. And it really became difficult for users, I think, to adjust to new software, which was good if they were using your software because they wouldn't want to change because they finally got it, right? But really hard for new vendors or new software products to enter the market and be successful. And now we've got that unified guideline, you know, and so much, or I should say so strict, that down to the font size, right? You know, you need to have this size font for titles and this size font for subtitles and this much margin on the left and this much margin on the right and, you know, things like that. And I think it's going to provide a better experience for the user in the long run. But as developers, that's something that we have to adjust to because we have that freedom to choose how we want it to look.
Let me ask you more specifically, and from a developer viewpoint, you did a fair amount of web programming, and now you're programming in WinJS. How different is the programming experience? How hard is the learning curve been?
Well, there's two different learning curves that I would suggest to somebody who's coming from like an MVC or a web forms background. And if you're coming from a non-.NET technology, I don't have a whole lot of purview into that. But from a web forms MVC background, you have to start thinking in JavaScript, right? What I've always done is, you know, thought in C sharp and translated to JavaScript, right? And I like it to learning a foreign language. When you actually start thinking in the foreign language, I think you've gotten it. And there is no fallback. Well, there are workarounds. So I could write some business logic in C sharp and make it a WMD file and put it out there, but that's an awful lot of friction. You know, just grasp reality and understand that JavaScript is a beautiful language. It certainly, as Douglas Crawford talks about, it certainly got its bad parts too. But just from a programming perspective, I'm really having fun again writing because it's beautifully expressive and it's dynamic when it needs to be. And then the advantage that we have as .NET developers, or I should say object-oriented developers, is Microsoft has filled the gap very nicely with the WinJS framework to plug those gaps where, you know, we might not know the best way to do something in JavaScript, but we can certainly get into the Windows runtime and the Windows programming model and get that stuff worked out. So there's two paradigm shifts that we need to think about. The first one is you're not going to fall back to C sharp. And I think I've already talked about that pretty well. The second is embrace CSS and HTML, right? I mean, I struggled as a .NET web developer with CSS, right? I never got the floats. And then you had to go across 10 different browsers and different versions within browsers. And we had, you know, 400 line if else statements, you know, to handle all the browser war stuff. But with Windows 8, you are only programming for IE10, right? You don't have a whole bunch of browsers to worry about. You've just got the one. So if it works on your machine, it's going to work on any machine. And that's a beautiful thing, right? And the other thing is CSS 3 has got some great features. I mean, for those of us that want to have things line up nicely in a grid, and we always would drop back to a table because that was easiest for us, And then, of course, the CSS guys are going, oh, it's easy. You just, you know, float this and float that and float this. I never got floats. And I, to this day, I don't get floats. But we have the MS Grid display option. And then you can set columns and rows. And what I find is I write a lot less markup. And the more I write WinJS applications, the more I rely on CSS for layout. And you really have to, because then when you start talking about different form factors and whether it's snapped or filled or whole screen, then you're totally depending on CSS to make sure that your application's beautiful in all layouts. So those are the biggest paradigm shifts, I think. Right? The hardest one for people to get over, at least the hardest one for me to get over, is the fact that you got to stop.
Yep. Phil, you're a hardcore Agile guy and have been for a long time. Do you see Agile practices applicable to Windows 8 development?
Well, I'll tell you, it's killing me right now because I haven't quite figured out how to write unit tests for my WinJS applications. And I know there's a couple people talking about it. And as a matter of fact, one of our peers, Jeff Fritz, has got a unit testing framework for WinJS that he's been on holiday, so I haven't been able to get in touch with him to work through it. I miss that dearly. And I know it's being done, but it's not commonplace. I just haven't had time to go out and get it. But test-driven development is just one very small factor of Agile. And you know, we mentioned the Conference Buddy application that you and I, and actually one of our other peers, Michael Crump, good friend of ours, is writing for Windows Phone. And we're iterating through it just as I would on any Agile team that I've run, you know, throughout my career. We started up, you know, with just a short meeting to talk about, you know, what are the design goals? You know, not design goals as in layout or coding standards or things like that, but what do we want the application to do? And I think that took us about an hour. And then we sat with essentially a whiteboard, a virtual whiteboard, did it over Skype, used a product called Mockup Screens that a friend of mine wrote. And we just built some wireframes, very rough wireframes. This is what we want the fields to be. We sent it off to the designers. Designers have been iterating through it as we're iterating through the different parts of the application. So, you know, we're not working in formal sprints. We don't have, you know, the whole product backlog documented, again, because there's a couple different goals we have with this app. But I find that Agile software development doesn't matter what tool you're using. Right. It's really the concept. And as we iterate through and, you know, Jesse, you came up with something. Oh, wait, how are we going to do this? And all right, well, hold on. Do we need to worry about that now? Is the cone of uncertainty too big, or should we wait a little bit to when we get some more knowledge and figure it out? And we're applying all those techniques throughout.
Yes. Wonderfully. Yes. So your point, I take it, is that Agile is sufficiently high level that it applies to Windows 8 as well as it applies to anything else.
Yeah. And you know, there's so many different flavors of Agile, right? So it's there's big A and little A and all those arguments out there. But from a application development standpoint, it's tool agnostic, it's language agnostic. Some of the engineering disciplines that I've been preaching about for over 10 years aren't prevalent. Right. I'm not doing unit testing in WinJS, and hopefully somebody listening to this podcast will leave a comment or send me an email, phil@telerik.com, about their favorite unit testing framework for WinJS, because I'd love to start incorporating that into it. And certainly if you've got the first project you're working on, let me know. I'd love to get involved because that's something I dearly miss. And I'm not saying it's not out there. I'm just saying I haven't found it.